Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, a podcast dedicated to worldwide events in the Blood Bowl community, with your hosts, Tim and Steve.
Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide. I'm Tim Vitamin T, Tim Lyons, and with me as always is Steve Kilowagi Campbell.
And this is episode eight.
Yes, episode eight. I blew it.
It's okay. It happens. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Generally, pretty good. Yeah.
Good.
A lot going on, but that's life.
That is indeed life. Interestingly enough, we have an exciting opportunity to interview someone today. So we'll be interviewing Marion Wall from Dungeon Bowl. What's his NAF name?
It's Doc Max, I think.
Doc Max.
Yes.
So, we actually met him over at World Cup last year.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. He seemed like a great guy, and Dungeon Bowl's like by far the most unique major to me, so I'm very excited to kind of delve into the dungeon.
Into the dungeons. But yeah, if you don't know, we'll get into pretty much most of the history and stuff. But it is one of the four fluff majors, as I like to call them. It's been around for a long time. GW used to run it, all this fun stuff. But you still have time to sign up. So go to dungeonbowl.de. You can look at all the information. You can sign up and try to sell it out. Anything else before we head into the interview?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and do the interview, and then we're out, and we will see you next time. Okay, everybody, we are here talking about Dungeon Bowl, and we do have a guest. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, sir?
I'm Doc Max, also known as Marion. I'm the organizer of the Dungeon Bowl.
How long have you been doing that?
Since 2014.
So just, you know, a little while, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it would be the anniversary if it was not for COVID.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. COVID kind of screwed everything up.
Dungeon Bowl especially.
I know. This is like its worst offense.
I think we were the first tournament in Germany who closed because of COVID.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it usually in this same kind of time frame? Like the early spring?
Yeah. Around Eastern. So maybe sometimes 2 or 3 weeks before or 1, 2, 3 after, but it's March, April.
Okay.
And I guess this year it's April 6th and 7th, right? I guess
we should probably say.
Yep.
Yeah, same weekend I'll be doing Oklahoma and Spiky Cup, so no chance I could make it.
Yeah, I saw that 2 minutes ago, and then I remember something. If you go to the Dungeon Bowl web page, you will notice it's a similar look to the Oklahoma Bowl page.
Oh, nice.
The first iteration, because we copied you.
Oh, yeah. Our first iteration kind of got lost. Like, I guess
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it sucks. We had it all set up and had the history and everything, and then they didn't email us that it was expiring and just gone.
Right.
It's like, can you recover it? No. Okay, new website it is.
Okay.
So you've been doing it for 10 years. How long has the actual event been going on?
Oh, I think it was 2003 or 4.
Okay.
It was run until 2013 by GW from the company and an organizer or two organizers. I think the first two times has been in Cologne, and then it went to Düsseldorf. And from there, my first Dungeon Bowl was at 2011.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they actually ran it. I guess.
I think all of the four majors, but I don't sure about that.
Yeah. See, 2011 was when we first went to Chaos Cup. That was being run by Tom, who was de facto GW, I guess. But right. also, it's America, not Europe. So, a little less reach over here. So, it's been a major for the NEF since the beginning, or do you know that?
Yes. The four from the FLUF, the four majors, the Blood Bowl, the Chaos Cup, the Spike Magazine, and the Dungeon Bowl has been always the major tournaments, and the Blood Bowl is now known as NAF Championship because of GW taking the saying no, don't call it Blood Bowl now.
Right, of course. GW doing GW things.
Yeah, especially at 2010, there was a whole hiccup with... we referred to the situation that the PR department gave everything to legal department, and legal department did things that legal departments do, so... Yeah.
Yeah. It's understandable. You got to protect your copyright, which...
Yeah. You
know, why, when we started both down, I made sure that I sent a care package to Jervis, care of GW, with like buttons and stuff from our podcast. So he knows we exist. He knows the name. They never did anything, so they can never come at us for copyright infringement or anything, because they refuse to protect it.
Yeah. I think there are some terms they can't protect, like both down or Dungeon Bowl is especially a thing. We talked to a friend of mine, a lawyer, if they have really a pattern on the word dungeon or dungeon bowl. Yeah, it's better don't talk to them than...
Right. I was going to ask, it's if GW is not running it, which we get that, they have put out a dungeon bowl since then. They even put out a dungeon bowl video game back in the day that very few people remember. So there's
Blood Bowl 1 was that I played it.
Yeah, it was fun. So I'm guessing you're just living by that whole motto of don't ask, don't tell. Like,
yeah. But we especially in Germany have part of a history with GW. There was a German department, and that got closed 2014. So friends of mine who work for GW since before that are now work in a foreign English company, and they have no legal representation in Germany. So they have, if they want to sue them or something like that, or have to go to the British courts. So
nothing. Yeah. You're safe then.
I think so. And the first thing they do is send out cease and desist letters. Yeah. And we've got in 10 years, we don't got one. Yeah. So.
Well, that's good. As we said, it is a major. So typically that means double points with the NEF.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
About how many people do you get, or have you seen like an increase or a decrease in numbers over the years?
Yes, it fluctuates. It fluctuates every year. Let me check for this year. I think we have now 108 paid players.
Nice.
And we will. That would be the biggest one.
Good. Nice. It seems like post-COVID, everything is hitting their biggest numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got 2019, the high mark on 100 players. After that, it fell down really, really low numbers. I think 70 or something. And then we grew back. And last year, I think it was 80, 86. But on the day, we have got more dropouts because of sickness. And
sure.
And this year, we've got easily over 100 players.
That's awesome.
But
do you have a cap that you think that you could take at most? Or?
Yeah, we have a cap because of the room. We have, I think, 100 by 100 meters. We talked to the venue, and I think we have 112. We could maybe get 8 to 12 players more, but then we have to rent another room and
sure.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that for one person.
Yeah.
We what are if now... it's Steve? It just flies out.
Yeah. The last years have shown me that someone will drop out day. So I'm a bit careful about that. And so I'm gladly I've got the event full.
Good.
And I'm in talks if we want to move, but the next time maybe we don't get the busload of Spanish guys who are coming this year because the Spanish guys last year and the year before make pretty much a good advertising for us, and the World Cup in Spain helped a lot, and I think we've got over 30 or 40 players from Spain coming.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, they've really blown up for size of their tournaments and player base, especially since World Cup, it seems like, and on the lead into it.
Yeah. There's a funny saying in Germany. Yeah. In Spain, everyone can win big tournaments because big tournaments are on every weekend.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're happy if we hit 50 at a tournament over here, you know.
Yeah.
A handful here. Sure. But, you know, Chaos Cup hit 200. And like you were saying about people dropping out, we always expect about 10% to drop out no matter what.
Mm-hmm. That's
Had about 220 pre-registered, and they had 20 people drop. Just happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally normal. I think COVID is especially blamed for that because the many people here in Germany, I could tell, if they have bad feeling, they're now saying, yeah, maybe don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And before COVID, no one, the most people are not, I think, aware of this and say, let me go. And then, they're sick. And
must be nice.
It's least my thinking about that.
That makes sense. America, not so much.
Yeah. Nobody's responsible.
No.
Yeah.
So Dungeon Ball is a two-day event, is that correct?
Yes. Games on Saturday and Sunday. There is a meetup at Friday at the youth hostel. Games begin on Saturday. And we have a pre-check-in on Friday, so you can meet me downstairs at the bar. At the venue and get your goodies, and I get you off of my list, so you don't have to wait in line.
Mm.
And
that's a good idea.
It makes things easier, but it's six games normally. Blood Bowl, three rounds each day.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're known for a very famous or infamous final round or championship match. Why don't you go ahead and explain what that is to us?
Yes. As we talked about it, that's the four majors, and the Dungeon Bowl is especially not Blood Bowl. But in the first iterations, they said, but we have to play Blood Bowl. No one wants to really want to play Dungeon Bowl. But they came up with the idea, but the final should be Dungeon Bowl. And as long as I can think back, there was a dungeon in the for the final, and as I took it over 2014, I decided we do a second final for the best Santis.
Okay.
And we have two games, which is run in a actual dungeon, in a Dungeon Bowl setting, and the winner of this game will win the tournament. No questions asked.
Okay.
And some games are played 20 minutes.
That's right. What I was going to ask.
2.5 hours.
Is that the longest it's been? Is 2.5 hours or so?
Yeah, because we have a special rules for that.
Okay.
We have for the last round, I think, nearly 3 hours, because I have to explain to the four people the rules, the situations, what can happen, and there are questions asked. Most of the times, because one of them is not a German guy, I have to say it in German and in English, because not all of the German players understand English very good. So we have a lot of time. And after the time starts, after 1.5 hours, we don't allow new players to enter the dungeon.
Oh.
And after 2 hours, so it's a half an hour to go, at the start of each round, a player leaves the dungeon.
Oh, wow.
So it is sure that the game ends 2.5 hours.
That definitely won't work.
Plus the time we start before, but that worked. In the first years, I have built very big dungeons that came to the point that the stalling, if you got the ball, you bunker it and you try to hold on over the 2.5 hours.
Mm.
Yeah, but we changed the dungeons and the settings because we have more experience now for how to build. For the buildings I do, for the build for the dungeon bowl, I always do that you have 3 options to go to. You can go left, you can go right, or you can go straight. So you can't go in a narrow tunnel or something. Mm-hmm. Where you have to go a long way back and the opponent can reform his defense on another side. So you have always 2, mostly 3 options to go. And yeah, that's checking things off.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have a chance of a draw, basically, in your championship. So that's one big plus to doing Dungeon Bowl instead. There'll be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there will be a winner. And I think at the big final, we never had a game go over the time and decided by the almighty, yeah, I have the ball now and I now have more players than you and I will win this game. I think that never happened.
Except
One year, but the player with the lower body count only has to make the 3+ and then he's in, and that he failed, and the dwarves from there on had 20 minutes left. So yeah, okay,
sure,
but if you can win a game with a 3+, you can win the game.
Cool.
Right.
I'll never have to worry about that, I'm sure. As much as I would love to come over and I'll probably play, but I'm not going to be in the finals, so.
Yeah.
There's always the stunty final, Steve.
That's true.
Always the stunty finals.
Considering I've won 1 game out of 20 stunty games, that also is not going to happen.
Okay.
Are the dungeon layouts the same for each, or are they kind of a little different between the stunty and the normal championship?
I also run 2 Dungeon Bowl tournaments where we play only Dungeon Bowl.
Cool.
That's the College of Death and the College of Life Cup. And there I have 4 different layouts for 8 players. But the layout for the squares in the whole pitch are the same. But the pits and the walls change.
Ah.
But the end zones are nearly at the same point.
That's cool.
Nice.
Do you have a couple of questions on the rules, Tim?
Oh, yeah. So I guess one of my main questions was you're basically doing Euro Bowl rules. I mean, it looked like to me for the most part. Do you have any challenges kind of adapting that to a non-squad tournament?
Yes. We talked to a lot of players in the community, especially to Stimme from he was a long time ago in Canada. I think you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Stimme, you should know him. Mm-hmm. I talked to Michael Tvelimor. He's the German organizer from the NAF. And Arioso, he runs the German Team Bowl. That's the biggest team tournament in Germany, near also 100 players. And we talked about it. And this year, especially, the Euro Bowls have a challenge for us because the Blessings makes...
Right.
Things in a single tournament very complicated. So my decision was to screw the Blessings and don't allow anything, any of them, except for the star players for the stunt teams. Because let's face it, without star players, goblins are rubbish and snotlings. Yeah. Halflings, it's another conversation, but also, the boogeymen for the halflings are also banned, so no Griff Oberwald.
Mm-hmm.
So Halfling's good to go with Stars 2.
That's good. I think that's a good way of handling it.
Do you know, what about Skitter Stab Stab? It came out pretty late. Are you allowing him? Just curious.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Nope.
I we figured not, about it. Wanted to ask.
We have talked about it, but I've heard from the English community that he's already banned. And
sure.
And
I believe it.
I think Huck Phlegm is a band as well in the Euro Bowl. So
yeah, Huck Phlegm definitely is.
Yeah, Huck Phlegm is I think another level than Skitter, but Skitter is cheap.
It's so cheap. I mean, it's cheap. Snotlings only here is the only way I could see maybe it'd be okay, but it's still way too good.
Yeah, yeah, and Snotlings has the opportunity for 2-star players.
Right.
So, Skitter, I don't know, 150 is really cheap.
You thought they maybe would have learned their lesson when they had to change Huck Phlegm, but I guess not.
What lesson? Yeah. The lesson is it sells. That's all
well,
to care
yeah,
about.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe they did learn their lesson. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make the money.
I really don't think GW makes a lot of money with Blood Bowl miniatures.
No,
no, not a ton. But that's okay.
I think
we just need that living rule book and then we're set.
Yeah, yeah. There's it's sometimes it feels GW. It's hit or miss with the rules, and so far so good. I think they have not done many fuck ups. Sorry for the
You're
language,
fine.
But I think Griff Oberwald is totally over the top. The Estelle from the Amazons, crazy, totally crazy. There is some. I think in the core teams, the beer bore. I don't think that's needed the game, but I don't see it. Using that often in good rosters. So.
No.
That's not a problem. We have to see if the vampires are a problem. There was some dominant players playing them in the German tournament, so we will see.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely good, but...
But if they get tiered one
the question.
In most tournaments, then they should be
maybe
fine.
Maybe that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. The tournament organizers have a good chance to rank them in two or one, and then it's good.
Yeah.
Yep. The same situation we've got 2015 with Bretonians coming to the scene.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a mess. I played, I think, in March in Prague. First time with Bretonians on the tournament. I won it all right. I've got, I think, 8 or 9 skills, and there was a good dwarf player, and he always looked at the board and said, I can't beat that. Because it's wrestle, it's
fend,
everything.
Fend.
Yeah, it's terrible for them.
Yeah, and shout out to Zlurpcast, the other podcast. They actually were talking about how Extreme believes that, you know, Imperial Nobility is basically the anti-dwarf team because he can't do anything against them.
It's one of their best matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Bretonians will give them a run for the money because, no stand firm, but 4 players with movement 7, I'd take any day against dwarves.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And especially you have 8 players on the pitch who don't care about block on the opponent's side. Without taking skills, so that's good. Cheap players to foul. So.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe they'll make a comeback officially for the NAF. We'll see.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe, but no.
I hope not.
Nobody wants that besides like 5 people. But that's okay.
Yeah, I think there are more players want. I think Slan or something Slanish based or other teams, but I think GW don't care about us because if you look at the last box, we've got the Black Orcs and the Imperial Nobility, and who ask for Imperial nobility and a Black Hawk team?
Yeah, right. I don't know about that. That was odd. Yeah.
It's like they tried to listen that people didn't just want orcs and humans every time, but then they still had to do it.
We got to do orcs and humans somehow. Let's just change it up. So next time it'll be Savage, Orcs, and Kislev.
Right. Yeah,
I remember reading an article at that time about an underworld team with a troll and I think a squig with wings and a stone and some fungus miniatures. And in the article it says, yeah, someone modulated that warband and showed it to someone, and then they decided, yeah, we have to make rules.
I believe it.
And then it got implemented into the game. There's a same story about the poisonous dagger from the...
Yeah, that is the, true.
From the Skaven in the 2016 version.
It was on the figure, so they needed a rule.
Mm-hmm. And he needs a rule for the fucking dagger because everyone has daggers and knuckle dusters, but there's daggers.
I got that confirmed from a playtester. So, as sad as it is, that was true, and it's not unusual. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So maybe they create better miniatures or cooler miniatures, and then.
That would be nice.
Come with something. Maybe a goblin team, a night goblin team against a high elf team.
Yeah.
I'd be down for that.
It would be cool if they did like alternative goblins. I mean, there's plenty of choices. That would be a fun idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So getting back to the tournament, I guess. Yeah. Do you have any more questions, Tim?
Well, I guess it's probably worth asking about other stuff to do around Dusseldorf.
I was going to ask.
Do you have any recommendations for, if people are making it a longer trip than just the tournament?
Yeah, Dusseldorf is one of the biggest cities in Nordrhein-Westfalen and also in Germany. It's famous for the largest Theke, die größte Theke der Welt. It's the largest bar where it can go. It doesn't translate that good in English, but there is always fun things to do in Düsseldorf. So it's sadly it's I think 6 weeks after Carnival, where the festivities are in the streets. But Düsseldorf is always a funny place to go.
Yeah, they're actually they do a big carnival celebration, right? They're one of a few places that does that. Yeah, that's cool.
Huh.
Yeah, they are the second largest city after Cologne, which is on the other side of the Rhine. So they don't like each other that well. So.
Right.
Well, anything else about the tournament you'd like us to discuss or anything you're doing special this year?
Oh, not really.
Okay.
It's normal Blood Bowl at the end of it.
Do you have any swag or giveaways that you want to promote or anything?
We do every year a goblin miniature based on a German historic figure.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. The last year we've got Mozart. He has three instruments of destruction with him, a chainsaw, something to throw with bombs and a ball and chain like a violin. And this year we've got the Hermann. It is Aminus in the Germanen Saga from the Romans. He defeated the Romans in the Teutoburger Wald,
cool.
A famous battle. I think there was a Netflix series. A really bad Netflix series 2 years ago about him. The Barbarian or Barbar, it called. He's a German hero from the Roman Emperor age. He defeated the three legions in the woods.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who's the figure by?
Hungry Troll.
Oh, okay.
Made it. And there is a famous statue here around where I live. And he has a sword in his hand. And normally it's raised against Rome. But at the time they raised it against Paris. But in my version, he don't have a sword in his hand. He has a ball in his hand.
Ah,
raised
sure.
above his head.
As he should. Well, yeah. Sounds awesome. Sounds like it's a great time, obviously, as it's one of the majors. You know, a lot of people have it on their bucket list to go to. Do you know approximately when next year would be, or just somewhere around Easter again?
I prepared a lot, but I have the date, but right now I can't tell you. I think it would be around the 22nd or 29th of March.
Okay.
Maybe a week earlier, but that's around that time.
Well, if you can't make it this year, hopefully everybody can plan to make it next year. I'll have to see you when we're doing Oklahoma Bowl, if it conflicts. It's going to be the hardest one to get to, but I plan on getting to Spike this year and either NAFC or Dungeon Bowl next year and then one the year after. So,
yeah, you're welcome.
Hopefully can. Well, yeah. We appreciate you taking time. If anyone wants to register or read more about it, is it just dungeonbowl.de?
Yes. You can follow the links from the NAF homepage. It's dungeonbowl.de. There is everything.
Sounds good. Anything else, Tim?
No, thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about Dungeon Bowl.
You're welcome.
Well, let us know how it goes and who wins. We'll be happy to give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCReportBB. You can email us at worldcupreportworldwide@gmail.com or at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.